Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on August 5th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Good, good. It's kind of busy in this kitchen here back here.
Yeah.
At this point, but I'm doing great.
Good, good, good.
Got lots of people cooking and running by.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, Jackie, it's quite an exciting time right now. Quite an exciting time. I had a great experience last night. I met one of the 12, count them, 12 Kettle One ambassadors in the country. I don't know if you...
Kettle One is a vodka.
Kettle One is a vodka.
They have ambassadors?
They have 12 brand ambassadors in the United States.
And that would explain why you woke up late this morning.
He's a great guy. Nick is a fantastic guy. And, of course...
May I ask where you met this ambassador?
I met him doing my Lyft and Uber gig.
Oh, okay.
And he just got back from a trip, and he had to go to a function with one of his clients, a gentleman who is a resource for him because he manages 8 restaurants.
Ah.
They buy, I don't know, he said something crazy like 500 cases of Kettle One a month or something like that.
And he must have had some with him. Well, good for you. That's always somebody good to know.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I was just driving, Jackie. It was strictly.
Hey, it's better than one of the Bud girls, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, but that was a fascinating discussion. We mostly talked about his job and how, you know, it's common in Japan for a businessman to have an entertainment budget.
Yes.
It's almost as big as his salary.
Yes, yeah.
That's the way you do business in Japan.
I actually know that. A company I used to work for, we did business with Japan.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. They entertain every night.
Yeah, every night. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Nick's getting there. It's not quite that crazy, but he entertains a lot. And guess what kind of vodka they always serve?
Kettle One.
Of course. Anyway, that was fun.
We're going to keep mentioning them, they have to buy an ad for it from us, okay?
Okay, I'll buy it.
All right, okay.
But how was your night, and what did you do?
Oh, you know something? I was home last night. I was actually in bed quite early.
Oh, good.
I cooked dinner, and I finished a book, and I went to bed early. I had a nice, quiet evening.
Okay. Yep. Most people that know you won't believe that, but
I know, especially on a Thursday night. I know. I had to go to the doctor yesterday. I had my first osteoporosis. I don't even know how to say it, osteosporosis exam?
Osteoporosis?
Porosis, yeah, you know, the bone density thing, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, I had my first exam yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And?
I don't know. I haven't gotten the results yet.
Okay.
But I imagine it's okay. They just say at a certain age you need to have these tests done, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very exciting life I lead.
I'm excited about the show today because we talked yesterday about your bike and the joys that you have riding around town. Of course,
yes.
South Bay is very bikeable. And we're going to talk about a different kind of bike today.
Yes, a very different kind of bike.
A very different kind of bike and a couple of guys who know a lot about bikes.
Yes.
But I'm thinking they don't call them bikes. They call them bicycles.
Oh, they probably have an even more technical name for it.
Probably.
Yeah.
But Jackie, who are our guests today?
We'll find out. Our guests this morning are Carrie Alpert and Greg Aiden of South Bay Wheelmen and board members of the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. Carrie Alpert served on the board of South Bay Wheelmen starting in 2001 and was president from 2008 to 2011. He raced in the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix multiple times during the 2000s since moving back to Southern California from Texas in 1999. Carrie worked for GTE Verizon for 32 years, retiring in 2003, spending his entire career in information management technology. Carrie is a native Angeleno, is married, and has three children. He's proud to be working for the Grand Prix and would like to thank Chevron and Manhattan Beach for their incredible support in helping the race reach its 55th running this year. Now, Greg Aiden has been a member of the South Bay Wheelmen since 1995 and has been on the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix Race Committee since 1997. He is a USA Cycling Category A race official, and this is his fourth year as the MBGP race director. Greg is a retired Western Division Director of Engineering and Operations for Cushman & Wakefield. He lives in Hermosa Beach, is married, and has two grown sons. So this morning, Carrie and Greg are going to tell us what attendees can expect at the Grand Prix this year. I hear there's some new stuff. And it's going to take place this Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 7 a.m. at Live Oak Park in Manhattan Beach. Carrie, Greg, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thanks a lot. We are really happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us because, you know, it is really an amazing race with such a history. This is the 55th running of the race, is it, Carrie?
Yes. Yes, 55 years. It's the second oldest one-day race in the United States,
right.
And I believe it's the only race that's that old that's been on the same course for all the years of its running.
Right, right. Amazing, amazing, amazing. First of all, I have to ask, I just want to start off with the very basics for people that may not know the race, although many people have seen the race in the South Bay, but there's some people that may not have known the race. Greg, what is a Grand Prix?
A Grand Prix is, it's just a name of a race, but this, the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix is really a criterium race,
mm-hmm.
and that's around a closed circuit.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is the race goes from 15th Street up the Pacific, up Valley, then back down Ardmore, a loop. It's a 1.3-mile loop. And the riders do it, do laps around that. And depending on the category, they race for a length of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pros will race for 90 minutes.
I see. I see. Now, they are racing to win. Isn't that right? Or is this a timed event?
No, it's to win.
It's to win.
Right. What we do is the race length is, you know, because we have nine races during the day. We got to fit them in. They're slotted for a time frame like the pros are for 90 minutes. And so what to do, the officials will look at their average lap times and then they'll figure out, okay, they're going to do, say, 35 laps and then they'll race until, and then towards the end, officials will put the lap cards out and saying, okay, there's five laps, four, three, two, one, and then the finish.
Mm-hmm. And that's when it's time for sprinting in that finish.
Yes, yes. During the race, there will be sprints, what we call preams. During the race, the announcer will announce there's a supreme lap where they will be given the sprint in the middle of the race where they'll be sprinting for merchandise or money.
Oh, and that's all based on who has the best lap time?
No, whoever crosses the finish line the next lap first.
I see. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Keeps it exciting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When you think about this race, Kerry, I mean, of course, many people are familiar with the Tour de France, and this is a grueling 14-day, mind-numbingly difficult race where they have to sleep. It just wouldn't work any other way. And then they get up and they race again. And some people win a heat in one day and another day they might be last place. Yet they might win overall. This is a very different kind of race. Tell us about the Grand Prix that are there Grand Prix similar to the Tour de France?
Well,
multiple days? Or
there are three Grand Tours.
Yeah.
There's the Tour de France, the Giro, which is in Italy, and the Vuelta, which is in Spain. And they're all three of them are 3 week long races.
Wow. 3 weeks.
One thing here in the United States, we have a couple of them, similar races, as you probably heard. And every May we have the Tour de California, which is an 8-day stage race. Mm. These are so-called stage races. And then currently going on this week is the Tour of Utah, which is another 8-day stage race as we speak. And there are a lot of other smaller stage races. We have one in April this year out in Redlands. It's called the Redlands Classic, which is a 5-day stage race.
Wow.
So there's quite a few of them around the country.
I see. Great opportunities to show what the stamina a racer has and so forth. But the Grand Prix of Manhattan Beach, it's really about speed, right?
Yes. What there is, yes. It's a sprinter's race.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do get breakaways that will succeed where a couple riders will get off the front and stay away. But the nature of the course with that hill up on Valley going up towards Pacific and then the wind that we normally get at the beach, it's pretty much comes down to a field sprint at the end of most of the races.
Greg, as a race official, can you tell us a little bit about, we should ask about the history of the race. I mean, can you tell us any stories about the history that you'd like to tell us from when you began or stories that you've heard? 55 years, there's got to be a lot of stories.
Oh, yes. I've only been around, like I say, for the last 20 or so years. But before my time, they had the railroad tracks going through the course there on Valley Ardmore. And there the railroad tracks, and they used to race over the railroad tracks. And there's quite a few pileups there, because especially in the rain, because we race in the rain or shine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's raining, then we still put on the race, So I don't have any particulars, but I know about 6 years ago, Becky Quinn, who was a South Bay woman racer, she crashed going through turn four with about four laps to go, got up, got back on her bike, and she caught the field, surprisingly, the women's pro field, and won the race.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys something about, since you brought up the wipeouts, the crashes?
Yes.
I know that some people, I can include my husband in this group, he likes to watch the race car, the car races on TV.
NASCAR.
Any of them. But he loves the pileups. I mean, people watch those sports to see pileups. Is it the same with bicycle racing?
Well, there are probably some people that enjoy that. Personally, Carrie and I, as ex-racers, we don't, because we've lost a lot of skin over the years. bicycle racers, you got to remember, all we do is all they wear for protection is Lycra and a helmet.
Yeah.
And, and you lose a lot of skin. Mm.
Yeah,
know,
I don't care for watching pileups. Very nervous. I don't like it at all, but I know that it's a big part of car racing. I didn't know if it was the same as bicycle racing. But I have a question. Does it qualify them for other things, or do they get points in their standings in the country?
This year, the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix is a kind of standalone. In the past couple of years, we've been part of the National Criterium Calendar, which is a series of 17 races across the country, mm-hmm. where the top pros travel across the country and get points, for the end of the year championship.
Mm-hmm.
This year we are not, because they scheduled another race against us in Colorado this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a conflict with the series, and we just didn't want to give the teams the opportunity, to all go to that new race. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Carrie, I just have to ask you, because we do online radio, and of course I'm a software engineer and all of that. What's going on with the website, Carrie?
With the South Bay Wheelman website?
Well, okay, so that's where you want people to go, right?
Right.
South Bay Wheelman.
That gives information about the club. There's also a separate website for the race.
Oh, yeah.
And that is MBGP. I've
been having some trouble with the MBGP.
Oh, it's the link is on my website. I haven't had any problem with it.
Okay, all right.
Go to my website and go to the link. It's there.
Yeah, I'm there right now, and it's beautiful. And is that a pink
I just
car?
Pulled it up too.
Yeah, is that a white hot Mitsubishi Mirage G4 pace car? Oh, that's nice.
Yes, Mitsubishi is our pace car provider this year, and I guess we should put out a thank you to Mitsubishi also for providing the pace car.
We love thanking sponsors. Yes,
right.
We do. We've got a lot of sponsors to thank, but Carrie, when you think about a race like this, of course, it's all about the cyclists and the sponsors. We love spectators, but it's the actual entrants and the sponsors. Where would you say we have entrants coming from? Europe?
I don't know. This year, I don't know that we have any from Europe, but because of the amount of prize money that the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix awards to the winners and throughout the field, we get a lot of racers, of course, from Southern California, Northern California, Arizona, Nevada, and we will probably see some riders come up from Mexico as well.
Okay. Wow. So it is truly international, and it's the 55th Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. It's what an event. I mean, with all of the vendors. Tell us a little bit, Carrie, about the vendors and how people will what the space will feel like. Where do people gather as spectators?
Spectators gather, the greatest number, of course, is near the finish line area, because that's where most of the action takes place. Mm-hmm. And also from the finish line back to the 15th Street turn is where most of the spectators will be. But we do set up a vendor area between Valley and Ardmore along the running trail there. And there'll be a great variety of different vendors and food providers in that area.
How soon? Obviously, parking is going to be an issue. How soon would you advise people to start angling for a spot?
Very early, because the parking is an issue, of course, because obviously you cannot park along the course.
Right.
But we welcome people to come anytime during the day. The parking below the City Hall Police Department area is available.
Right.
And, of course, Manhattan Beach is a beautiful place to walk around. And even though it might be a block or two or so that you have to walk, the weather should be beautiful, and it's quite an event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking over at the Metlocks structure.
Right. Beautiful.
And if you're smart, you'll ride your bike there.
Yeah.
that's true.
That's the key. That's what I do every year.
Will there be a bike valet?
No, there won't be one this year, but we do have an area that's kind of set aside there, by the baseball field there, where people can lock up their bikes there. Inside the baseball field. Yeah.
I love that idea, a bike valet.
For a bike race, that's pretty appropriate.
Yes.
And no, seriously, in the beach cities, especially during the summer, the only way to get around town is by bike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Greg, tell us a little bit about the history of the South Bay Wheelmen and what wheelmen represent.
Okay. The South Bay Wheelmen was started, I think, this is what, 56th year, so it was about 2 years before, by Ted Ernst, who's still actively involved with the race. He will be heading up. He heads up the noontime kids races. Mm-hmm. He's still there, active. He's in his 80s now, and just going strong. He's founded it there. He's an ex-racer moved out here from Chicago, and started the club to promote bicycling and bike racing here within the South Bay area. And then he organized the race, of course, to help do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been involved. We've been there. We've had at the club many, many national, state, national, Olympic riders, Olympic champions, riders that have gone on to race in the pro tours across the country, in the Tour de France. Mm-hmm. And that type of stuff within the club. Primary purpose right now is we've got a foundation, the South Bay Wheelmen Foundation, that promotes junior racing and juniors within the area. And that is one reason why we have the junior race this year.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
To try and get more and more kids involved and get them off the, what do you call them, Xboxes and whatever, and get them out riding bicycles.
Right.
Pokemon Go. They better not be popping up on the bike race course, because that could be a problem.
No.
Just a little dangerous. You know, you mentioned bringing the young kids into the sport, Greg, but the thing about bicycling, there are so few sports or activities can do throughout your whole life. And bicycling is one of them.
That is correct. We have one of our races, the second race of the day, is a 50-plus, 60-plus race where us old guys race. And these guys are still racing 50 years after they started racing back when they're in their 20s. They're still in the 70s and 80s. We have one, Paganini, who's close to 80 years old, and he's out there, and he's still competitive. He's still out there racing his bicycle.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. You know, football, you got to give it up at a certain age, you know. You know, all these other sports, it's just too hard on your body. But bicycling, you can do it your whole life.
I just wanted to add that bicycling is kind of marks the first great step of independence when we're kids, because we can transport ourselves where we want, when we want.
Right. Right. It's a great rite of passage, right? The first bicycle,
yes.
Learning how to ride a bicycle, all of these things are great rites of passage for kids all over the world. And of course, some get serious.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, when we talk about the racing, there are multiple, I guess, grades or ranges of skill, but there's no age differentiation other than the 50 and 60 plus. I mean, can you compete at any level at any age?
There's both what are called categories, category one being the most proficient and most successful racers, category five being the beginning racers. So you do have category races, but there are also multiple age level races. For example, at the Chevron Grand Prix this weekend, we'll have a Masters 50-60 race, a Masters 35-plus race, and a Masters 40-plus race. So that a racer could enter either a category race or their age group race.
I see.
Carrie, is there an open?
No, there's not an open category as such.
Okay.
You either need to race in an age group or in a category.
Okay. I only ask because I know a lot of sports. I was a competitive fencer for years. And it was the same setup.
Oh, so was I.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, yes, it's similar where categories, but they in fencing in an open, well, in anything, they don't do – they. Well, there's in fencing, the 40 and over is considered what would be your 50 and over. But in the opens, you could have a 70-year-old fencing a 15-year-old. You know?
Right,
exactly. You know, it's an open category, yeah.
Right. You're right. In fencing, you have open events, and either the newbie fencer can be fencing the grizzled 50-year veteran. You know?
Right.
You get
A fencers fencing against unrated fencers. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bicycling lends itself to that sort of thing. You know, you could have an open category.
Right. Well, if you're in a category three rider, you can have a category three rider that's racing as a 14-year-old, and then you can have a Paganini, he's a category three, and he's 80 years old, and they can race in the same race, you know, as long as they're that category.
Sorry we're getting off the subject, but I have to ask Carrie, what club did you fence with?
I fenced for the Maury Fencing Club in Beverly Hills.
Okay, I fenced for the Beverly Hills Fencing Club.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And I also fenced collegiately at San Diego State and UCLA.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. And speaking of connections, Greg, I just had the reason I mentioned this in your bio. It mentioned that you worked for Cushman & Wakefield. I used to work for Cushman & Wakefield.
You did?
Yeah, I worked for Cushman & Wakefield in their New York office on 6th Avenue. And then I actually, that was the company that got me to California. I transferred from the New York office to the L.A. office.
Okay. And what group? Asset services or brokerage? Or
I started in property management.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was just a sidebar, Joe.
No, wonderful.
I do want to add that this year's race, when we were talking about categories and age groups, that we are having a 15 to 18 year old juniors race also this year, which is a new addition. We haven't had that the last several years at the race.
That's great. That's wonderful. What time of the day is that, or people will find out when they register, right?
Yeah, that's our the race is. We've got the schedule is on the website, and but the junior race I think goes off at about 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And they race for 50 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Hey Joe, we should take a station break.
Yes, we should, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. What a great race day coming up this Sunday, August 7th. Racing all day. You can get there early. There are going to be food vendors. You need to find a place to park, or you certainly need to bike into the area. But, of course, all the happenings will be happening at Live Oak Park. So if you're familiar with your secret ways of parking and getting to Live Oak Park, then those will probably apply. Of course, if you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd especially like to hear about you or your mom or your dad racing in this race 40, 50 years ago. We'd love to hear those stories and more. Please join us. All right, we're back. Now, Carrie, I have a question about just general logistics. Take us through the day. What is the general shape of the day?
The course, of course, we start setting the course up the day before on Saturday.
Right.
So there's already work being done then, but very early on Sunday morning at about 5 o'clock, we close the streets off. And we start setting up the most important thing is getting the fencing set up that helps protect the riders and helps define where the course is.
Right.
Along with that, registration for people that are registering for the race that day also opens up at about, Greg, at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 a.m.
So registration opens up for day of race registration at 6.
Right.
And then the first race goes off at 7 o'clock. And from then on, it's a very strict schedule to keep the day going on schedule.
Right.
Because there's only a few minutes between each race.
Mm-hmm.
And the riders, of course, finishing a race have to get off the course, and the riders for the next race line up near the finish line and then are signaled to go off and start the next race.
Right. That's got to be very nerve-wracking right there. in the moment, that's got to be quite an exciting situation.
Yeah, and it is. And I have to give Greg kudos because Greg is an excellent race director and works very, very hard at keeping the races on schedule and keeping everything flowing as it should throughout the entire day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is your fourth year, Greg, as the race director?
Yes, this is my fourth year, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well,
and prior to that, I was, you know, on the committee and kind of quote the assistant, you know, race director under Eric Smith, the old race director,
mm-hmm.
And who moved on, and he's one of the key people for the Tour de California now. Mm-hmm. So
I see. It's a beautiful course. Obviously, Manhattan Beach is a beautiful place, and what a great! I'm looking at the course, and it's just amazing.
Have you ever gone to it, Joe? Have you ever gone and seen it?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's the point. I think many people have seen the race, right? Because they just happen upon it, and they wonder what's going on here, and they hear, oh, it's Grand Prix. Oh wow, I didn't know they did that in Menhaden Beach. But people have actually become involved or known the history of it.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think people do literally stumble upon it.
Yeah.
You know, they're walking down to the beach or something, and they're like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But it's very exciting. It's very exciting. Hey, Carrie, how large are the races? Because there seems to be a lot of riders.
Yes. Overall, during the day, we'll probably have upwards of 600-700 racers total.
Wow.
And as many as 100 racers in a particular race.
Right. Wow.
And it's quite a sight. It's quite a sight. Last year, we moved around a little bit, and we were on one of the turns, and they come flying around that. Oh, my goodness, it's scary.
You know, and with the colors of the uniforms that, you know, racers wear, it's really a beautiful sport to see the colors flash by for the spectators.
Right. Mm-hmm. It looks like the turn at 15th Street is a really fast turn because of the configuration of the street at that point with those crossing streets. There's a big loop there, whereas at Pacific, the turn is a little bit more sort of normal, I would say, but you're actually going up a hill a little bit there, but at 15th Street, that would look like a fast turn there. Have you guys...
It is.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, because you're coming downhill, just down a little slope into the 15th Street turn, and then because the radius of the turn decreases as you go around it. It's one of the trickier turns in racing in Southern California.
Wow. Wow. How long is the race or the circuit? How long is the course actually?
It is 1.3 miles long from start to finish.
1.3 miles. That's a very special number. That number is 1.3 miles because Hermosa Beach is 1.3 miles square.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is they could do the race in Hermosa and cover the whole city.
Well, presumably, but this actually is a much prettier course. You'd have to do some finagling to get around various obstacles.
Yes. So, hey, Carrie, so I understand that this year, for the race this year, there's going to be some new and different things. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, the most important one is that there'll be a Chevron kid zone set up near the start finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid zone is new for this year. It's going to be free for kids from 2 to 12 years old. And it's going to be open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And some of the activities in the kid zone that Chevron is putting on will include face painting, temporary tattoos, colored hairspray. There'll be games, balloon animals, a photo booth, and, of course, hot dogs, cookies, and drinks, and T-shirts.
Great.
And we really want to thank Chevron for putting this in the race this year, as we're hoping it'll really be an attraction for the local spectators.
Absolutely.
You know, the kids get to have all the fun.
And all that health food, hot dogs, cookies, drinks.
Exactly. Exactly.
The kids get to have all the fun.
Yeah.
That's why one of our primary sponsors is a dentist.
I'm sure he's going to be a happy man.
Actually, it's actually Dr. Holden.
Okay.
It's Dr. Holden.
Yeah.
So.
Dr. Janelle Holden.
Janelle, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Janelle.
Thank you. Wonderful. This is such a great event for the city, for the region, the South Bay, and of course, 55 years. What an institution. What can you say, Greg? I mean, it seems to be running smoothly. You've been the race director for 3 years. This is your fourth year as race director. You don't improve on an event like this. You just make it run a little bit smoother every year, right?
I try to make it smoother. You do some improvements. The city always puts new kind of little roadblocks and stuff on it. For 2017, we are looking at running the course backwards in the other direction.
What?
To do a different challenge for the riders. Yes.
Okay.
It's been going this direction except for a few years back in the, according to Ted Ernst, back in the 60s and 70s, they ran it a couple times in this one direction. But we said, let's try to do something different and have them, ride it in the other direction and have the start-finish probably be down by Jocelyn Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be coming down instead. Right now, the logistics of the race for the riders is whoever's in the top, say, six or seven going into the final turn
mm-hmm.
is going to win the race.
Yeah.
Because of the complexity of the turn.
Yeah.
If we go the opposite direction, coming down from Pacific down that hill, it's going to be a long drag race to the finish.
A long, fast drag race.
Fast drag race, yes. And so that's going to be real exciting for 2017. We try to do something new each year to keep it fresh.
Right.
That's why, Chevron came up with a great idea of the kids zone this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the junior race this year, which is different than we've done in the past. And we're trying to keep the spectators and the riders, excited to come back to the race.
Right. There is practically nothing more, I would say, nothing more on the mind of the general public than personal responsibility for health. I mean, every doctor, every chiropractor, every personal trainer is talking about that personal responsibility, what you put in your mouth, and moving, even just walking around the block, but moving. Jackie and I often laugh about a meme, as they call it, about sitting being the new smoking, trying to keep people from sitting all day but moving around every 20 minutes. Have you heard about this?
I haven't, but it makes perfect sense.
It is. There. Everyone is talking about it from, the White House on down. To make a healthier country, we have to get children, especially, and everyone moving and exercising to some degree. Bicycling has never been more popular. Of course, now there are electric bikes, so people are starting to use bikes for commuting long distances, where before it would have been a grind. Now it's not so much of a grind because of the electric assist. What is your take on the popularity of bicycling today? It's amazingly popular and getting more so every day.
Yes, it is. And there's more and more people getting out. Besides bicycle racing, they have another series is out there. They do the old centuries, and we call it the Grand Fondos, which are maybe 50 to 70, anywhere from 50 to 100 mile bike rides, where it's an organized bike ride where it's not really a race, it's a social event
mm-hmm.
for everybody to get together and ride in a safe environment in a group and that, and go out there and get the camaraderie, whatever, of the fellow riders. It's getting very, very, very popular.
That's what the rat race is, right? Isn't there the rat beach race? It's not a race.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, it's a ride. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tour, whatever it is, and it's like 50 mile ride. Yeah.
Yeah. There's three different. I think there's three different three different lengths, and as
mm-hmm.
you said, it's for camaraderie. It's to get to know the area. Yeah, it's very popular. Now, speaking, you mentioned the junior race. I know that there's the South Bay Wheelman Club. I know that there's the Beach City Cycling Club. You know, we have several clubs. Is that mainly how young people get involved in bicycle racing, or do schools have programs? I don't know that I've ever heard of a school having a program. I mean, high schools.
There is not really anything in this area. In Southern California, they do have an across the country, a mountain bike league,
mm-hmm.
Where the high schools, especially in back around the Rialto area, around the mountains area, they have these mountain bike clubs within, and they have a series and teams. They have my mountain bike team, and the kids get in there, get in, do the mountain bikes, and then they get into the road bikes and the racing from that involvement. But
so
the junior races,
go ahead.
Most of our events have junior races involved. Unfortunately, because of the timer's constraints at Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, we can only have one junior race. But a lot of them have junior races where any riders, racers from 9 years up, have different age group races that and get them into racing and riding.
So the clubs facilitate that. So
yes, they do.
Younger people join the club. They can you know start out just for fun. Some more of the tours, and if they want to get into racing, the clubs can facilitate that. They can point them in the right direction. Do you host? Does the South Bay Wheelman host races for teens?
No, we don't. Like I said, about every weekend in Southern California, there is a bicycle race somewhere and within the area, and a lot of them do have junior races with them. Like I said, we're restricted in our time. We have to be off the course by 3:30, due to the, situations on Ardmore. So we can't go all day. A lot of the races start at 7 in the morning and don't end until 6 or 7 at night. Mm-hmm. And then they have races going continuously for 10, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And get all the categories and age groups and the juniors, individual races in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And each club, each one of these races is put on primarily by a club like the South Bay Wheelman,
mm-hmm.
And across the area, yeah.
Now you discussed a bit about Greg about changing the direction of the race. Would you ever change the course based on issues with traffic? Of course, construction. Every once in a while, I'll bet the city would have some issues with construction. But is that
right?
A possibility?
No, I don't think so. Looking at the area, I don't know where we could find a venue as great as where we have it.
I see.
A lot of the races in the area are industrial park, four corner crits,
mm-hmm.
where you ride around, right here where we got the scenic and we got the green belt, everything else here.
Right.
It's a perfect venue, and it's one of the key races that most riders, pencil in at the beginning of the year.
Right.
To come to the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix
because of the
location.
It's
a unique race.
Right.
Yes.
And like you're saying, if you just wanted to put together a race, you can always do, as you said, what do you call it? Four corners?
Yeah, four corner crit. Yeah. Where
crit.
It's around like an industrial park.
Right.
Where you go around the big industrial loop.
Right.
Four corners. Yeah.
Right.
Around the block.
Right.
So to say.
You can do that in any city in America. But
yeah.
This
right.
is very unique.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Long Beach car race, the Grand Prix, where once a year they shut down the city streets to let the cars race. They obviously can't do that all
right.
the time, right?
Absolutely. There is only one Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix.
That is correct, and it's internationally known, too.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. We're so thrilled to have you both with us, Carrie Alpert and Greg Aiden. Thank you so much for joining us. We're not done yet, but we wanted to to honor you both for all of your years of service to the community, to the South Bay Wheelmen. Greg, is there anything your contact information, do you want to give anything out besides mbgp.com?
That's all the information is. Everything that we have is on the website.
Yeah.
Can get there. And then there is a link there that has my email address if you have any particular questions.
MBGP, four characters.
Yeah.
Right.
It sounds like a utility company. <Doesn't it?
laughs> Well, there are no five character domain names available anymore. I have a five character domain name, and there are no more available. The four character domain names went out in the mid 90s, or the early 2000s. But when do you remember, Greg, when the race got the mbgp.com?
No, I don't.
No.
Yeah, I know it's probably it had to be in that time frame.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because it's always been there since I've been, and I've been involved since, like you said, since 97. So.
Yeah. Four character domain names are long gone.
Yeah.
Every combination.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking about what you just mentioned, the four corners.
Yeah.
Race. I mean, we got a lot of industrial area in the South Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, do they do them like in Gardena or Torrance? I've never seen it. I've never seen one.
Yeah. There is. Torrance has one. Torrance has a race. It's they've had, I don't think they did it this year, but years past, that used to be up there around the area up on Carson, like on Carson and Crenshaw, that area. And then we've got a course over there right by the Torrance Memorial Hospital on Tilo Street.
Mm-hmm.
That it's kind of a training course that we have that the riders use. On Tuesday nights, they do, training crits or races around that on Tuesday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Peninsula Bicycling Club was putting on a race there using that course. Mm-hmm. Which is right in the neighborhood too.
You know, I find that so interesting because, I mean, it's perfect because industrial areas, they shut down at 5 o'clock during the day and they're not open during the weekends.
Right.
And those parts of town, anybody that has ever gone to Italian in Gardena,
right.
Great restaurant in the middle of a warehouse district, industrial area, you know, the first time you go there, you're driving through and you're like, is this the right place? Am I at the right place? Because it's dead. There's not a car on the street. You know, nobody parks there. None of the businesses are open. There are no lights on. So it's kind of perfect for bike racing.
Right.
That's what makes the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix one of the very unique races, is that we're able to do it in one of the most beautiful sections of Manhattan Beach,
right?
Close the streets down for the day and put it right in the heart of the city.
Right.
Yeah, that is unique. Yeah. Logistics, a lot of logistics.
A lot of logistics.
Mm-hmm.
This is wonderful. What a great event. And of course, what a great tradition, because we've got lots of new riders coming up. This may be their second or third year, and they're looking forward to many years in the future of racing at the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. And we're so thrilled to celebrate it, Carrie. This is a wonderful celebration. When you think about contact information, is there any other contact information you want to give people? Or tips do you want to give people, Carrie?
Contact information, I think the website serves as the best focal point
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as tips go, spend your Sunday in Manhattan Beach this week.
Okay. Of course. There's
we do have a Facebook page as well.
Ah.
It's called the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix.
Okay.
Facebook page, which has, does have some information interesting, you know, tidbits from time to time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So so after the race, everybody can go over to Pollywog Park for the concert.
Right.
The Sunday night concerts in Pollywog. Yeah, there's actually a lot of stuff going on in Manhattan Beach on Sunday. So you can make a whole day of it.
Yeah.
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 It's all good.
And I'm looking at the Facebook post by Jill Brunkhart right now, and she's saying that Assemblyman David Hadley will kick off the women's pro race on Sunday and at Live Oak Park.
I think that David Hadley, I think he's got to have a couple of clones. That guy gets around. He gets around. He's going to be at a pet adoption event.
Right.
And, yeah, he's all over the place.
Right.
What was that movie, that guy that had to get clones so he can get everything done? I think
Multiplicity.
Yeah. David Multiplicity Hadley.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I you know, Greg, you got to take us out on what do you think this means to the city to have this kind of a, well, it's really an internationally recognized event in the world of cycling. What do you think that means, Greg, to the city of Manhattan Beach?
Well, I think what it means is, you know, especially on the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, it brings in, like we say, close to 700 riders, you know, on a day to visit the beach. They spend the day at the beach, you know, in the area, and their families.
Right.
Bring in, especially now this year with the junior race, where, you know, they usually bring their entire family with them,
right?
You know, for the day. And so hopefully it'll mean that, you know, that they'll, you know, come to the race and then walk two or three blocks and go down to the pier, or go down to, on, you know, down to downtown, you know, Manhattan Beach and enjoy the city.
Right. Right. Well, there's obviously the economic impact. I mean, you know, round numbers, you've got 700 riders, you've got perhaps 2,000 participants, riders and family and support people. And then you've got, you know, you could times 10, you know, 15,000 spectators. You're talking about a 20,000, person impact on the city that day. And that's huge.
And it's, you know, like I said, it's got the name Manhattan Beach, you know, like you said, it's internationally known within the cycling world.
Right.
The race, I get, you know, in my officiating duties when I go across the country, when I was going across the country, telling the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. And a lot of these pros say, yeah, I remember I raced that race back, you know, 5-10 years ago. You know, I first got started, I raced that race as a Cat 3 or a Cat 4.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Beautiful. Fantastic. Looking forward to it. It's this Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming up, and we hope that you will all come out and enjoy this great, fantastic event right here in our own backyard. We're so lucky, aren't we, Jackie?
We certainly are, and you better stop by at the courtesy tent and say hello to Jill Gumpard.
Yes,
she'll never be a guest on the show again.
I will. And Carrie Alpert, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having us.
This is a great event. And Greg Aiden, thank you so much for joining us and for being the race director for 3, now 4 years.
Right. Yeah, that's fun. It keeps my gray hair going. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we hope you will come out. If you have any questions whatsoever, mbgp.com. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now. Have a fantastic weekend. Bye.